This podcast is brought to you by Easton. There are those who play and those who watch, those who cheer and those who are cheered, those who know that every hit has a bat, every catch has a glove, and every game a winner. At Easton, our passion is delivering a complete system of unparalleled technology and advanced products designed to give baseball players an elite edge. Easton Baseball, built to win.
Welcome once again, everyone, to a Baseball America podcast. I'm John Manuel. He is Aaron Fitt. Aaron, yesterday, 45 minutes or so of podcast goodness on the regionals. We just could not contain ourselves, and we're not going to make any effort to contain ourselves today. Let's just go plow right in with part two. I think the highlight of yesterday's podcast was, we'll give you our picks real quick to recap. I picked North Carolina Coastal. Oral Roberts was my big, we'll go over all of them, but my big shocker was Oral Roberts, winning the regional at Nebraska. And I really wouldn't be shocked if any of those three teams won that regional. Aaron, what was the bigger surprise in your mind out of your picks? Was it that you picked New Orleans to win at LSU, or was it Irvine and Nebraska? Which is a bigger surprise? I guess New Orleans, huh?
Yeah, I think New Orleans was my big sleeper pick here. And also, I kind of went on a limb with Vanderbilt.
That's right.
Going to Tempe and beating Arizona State.
You did talk yourself into Vanderbilt by the end of that podcast.
It took a little bit of effort on my part, but I got there.
Bravo. Well, now let's go on to the left side of the bracket. It starts with Miami's regional and goes all the way down to Florida State's regional.
Woo!
And the Miami Hurricanes, or the Hurricanes, are your number one overall seed, Aaron. The last number one overall seed to win this championship back in 1999. Miami, as we have already discussed, has a very difficult regional, with the Hurricanes as the one seed, the Missouri Tigers as the two seed, Ole Miss Rebels as the three seed, and Bethune-Cookman, which might be the second or third strongest four seed. They're right in that mix for best four seed, along with Sam Houston State and UC Davis for me.
Congratulations, Miami. You're the number one overall seed in the tournament. You dominated the regular season from start to finish. You get to face the national ERA leader in your opener with Hector Burgos. So
it's ridiculous.
Enjoy. It's utterly insane, and I'm not going to rant about this anymore. We've railed the committee enough in the last few days, but I can't believe how much more user-friendly North Carolina's path to Omaha is than Miami's when you got Miami with the higher seat.
Let's just match up, like, say, Miami versus A&M. A&M's not even a top eight national seed. Boy, I'm really yelling, so I apologize. I got the levels off yesterday, by the way, and we'll get them better today. But A&M is not even a national seed. But the number two, Missouri versus Dallas Baptist. I don't think anybody in the country would rather face Missouri than Dallas Baptist when you got Aaron Crow. No. That kind of equalizer. And a team that's been to six straight regionals. Three seeds, Ole Miss versus Houston. It's kind of a push.
No, it's not.
But, well, I mean, Ole Miss, let's face it.
On resume, it is, because Houston won the Conference USA tournament. Houston actually had the better season.
Exactly. I was about to say, Ole Miss has talent, but let's face it. Ole Miss underachieved
this
year.
But who's the more dangerous team? It's not even close.
And that's the other part of it. Ole Miss has won three straight regionals. Track record tells you can even ignore, if you want to, if you're the college baseball fan who hates that Baseball America bases so much of this on talking to scouts or pro talent or all that stuff, fine, ignore that. Take track record. Yeah. People on the committee, take track record into account. Ole Miss has won regionals each of the last 3 years. They've lost in super regionals 3 years in a row. This is a better team, a better program than Houston. They're just not comparable, really, as three seeds, if you ask me. And four, Bethune-Cookman against Illinois-Chicago. That's kind of comparable, you know. Illinois-Chicago's, I think Bethune is better. Bethune's been to regionals six, 7 years in a row, 7 out of 8 years, that kind of thing. So I just think they're just picking one at random, but Miami's regional is more difficult than a team that's not even a top eight national seed. I mean, you can almost make the case that North Carolina deserved an easier regional in some ways because they did beat Miami head-to-head. Their resume is just as strong as Miami's.
Except
that Miami won the ACC regular season and
tournament.
Period.
Yep. I mean, that to me trumps losing two
it
out
should.
Of three.
I agree. It should. I'm just saying you can make the case for North Carolina. There
you,
a lot of,
you can make it.
But if
you believe that, then you should have North Carolina as the number one seed and not Miami.
Agree. And number two, there's just no reason why A&M, loser of eight of its last ten, should have an easier regional path than Miami. And that's really indefensible. Again, that just goes back to ignorance and the almighty dollar. That you're flying in Missouri and Ole Miss to Miami, you're going to fly anybody to Miami.
Yeah.
I just think for Bethune-Cookman, they also get jobs because when they go to regionals, they almost always go to Miami. They never get to leave the state of Florida. I just don't think that's right for the kids at Bethune-Cookman and their quality of postseason experience. I'm disappointed for them.
And I think it would be more equitable if they got sent somewhere else just once.
Yeah.
Now,
can they win this regional? Are they a force that can win a regional, or is this regional just too tough for the Wildcats?
No, it is too tough. But listen, I made a statement yesterday that I thought the Long Beach regional was the toughest regional from top to bottom. I might go back on that. I think because this Miami regional, you know, Bethune-Cookman is good. I mean, you really can't overlook those guys.
Yeah, I just think USD is a lot better than Missouri for me. They're similar teams, but USD has done more this year than Missouri. They've played up to their talent. And I would say that I would take Cal over Ole Miss any day. This year, anyway.
It's close. I mean, you can go either way in these two regions.
Ole Miss has more track record, but Cal's a better team this year. And I will take the 500 team from the Pac-10 over the 500 team from the SEC this year any day.
Let's talk, though, about Ole Miss, John, because, you know,
I don't believe in that team at all.
I understand. You don't believe in this team. I kind of do. And you know, honestly, if Ole Miss and Missouri were in almost any other regional, I would probably take them all the way to Omaha.
Wow.
I mean, I feel.
I can say that for Missouri. I can't say that for Ole Miss.
Here's the thing about Ole Miss, though. They did play better at the end of the season. They made the SEC tournament championship game, and the key for me is Jordan Henry is back to being Jordan Henry atop the lineup.
That's a great point.
That's the thing that's been missing all year for them.
A spark offensively. You're right, and he had a sophomore slump.
He did
for most of the season. That's actually a great point. I'll be honest with you. I just don't believe in Cody Satterwhite and Lance Lynn. Period. Lance Lynn quit on Team USA last summer. I'm sorry. I know he says he had a groin pull, muscle pull, whatever. To me, it looked like he bailed on that team. And he and Cody Satterwhite just don't get it done for me, period. I don't believe in that team. Is it because those two guys are supposed to be studs, and they aren't? They're just
Satterwhite
good.
Satterwhite, to me, is...
Hell, Satterwhite's not even good.
It's disappointing. And you know, I watched some of that SEC championship game on Sunday, and I saw Satterwhite throw, and... Man, you see the guy, and it's true. He's got four pitches that are really, at times, really good pitches. I mean, the changeups that he was throwing out there, I mean, I don't know if I've seen a better, he's one of the better changeups out there.
It's no Scott Gorgon changeup.
Right. But why doesn't he win? Why doesn't he get more outs? Why doesn't he dominate?
It's not only that, he hasn't done it for 3 years. He's never done it. And he ain't going to start in this regional. As good as this regional is, Miami's offense is so superior to the other offenses in this regional. I don't know how left-handed these other teams are. Aaron, you might know. Miami, that's their only Achilles heel to me, is that their best two starters are left-handed. But to me, the Gutierrez brothers, they get some good outings out of Enrique Garcia. And don't forget Kyle Bellamy out of the bullpen. Miami has the six. You really need six pitchers to win in the postseason. I like Miami's top six.
There's a couple of reasons I like Miami here. One, they're not going to have to face Aaron Crow or Lance Lynn. I suspect
those two guys
are probably going to go head-to-head in that opener, which is a great pitching matchup. And Lance Lynn has pitched better at the end of the season. He struck out 12 in the SEC tournament.
He did. He pitched better in the tournament.
This is a guy who – I'm sorry, John. He's been a proven winner there for 3 years. I'm not going to
– He's no Will Klein. I would rather have Will Klein from their last year's team who shoved it against Arizona State in the regional or in the super regional. That was a guy who basically, he was on center stage, Will Klein answered the bell. I don't have the confidence in Lance Lynn to do it. Period.
I think Lance Lynn is a fierce competitor.
Nothing personal, Lance. I'm sure you're a great dude, but I'm not on Lance Lynn as the guy who's going to deliver a regional championship for Ole Miss.
Well, we'll have to agree to disagree on that one.
That's fine.
I think he's a big game pitcher. Who pitches his best on the big stage. And you know, I think Ole Miss could win that game, and if they do. And I'm not saying they will, but they could. It could go either way that first game. If they do, I kind of like Drew Pomerantz against Miami. I mean, he's a left-hander. They've got a lot of good left-handed hitters.
They do.
I mean, I don't think Miami is going to lose this regional. I think that we talk about how good their offense is, and that is really what jumps out most about Miami. All the pro hitters, Alonzo and Weeks and Rabin and Tocody.
Sobolewski.
You know, Sobolewski and even Ryan Jackson is a very good hitter, but... Here's the separator for me is just how good they are defensively.
I agree,
especially up the middle.
Underrated. Grandal and Jackson are outstanding.
You sold me on this doctrine of being strong up the middle over the last couple of years, and we've seen it with Oregon State in the College World Series the last 2 years in a row. Darwin Barney and Jacoby Ellsbury before that,
Chris
Hopkins and Mitch Canham, and you know, premium defenders up the middle.
How about that play? The plays that Wong made last year, that Joey Wong made,
great defender.
Turned double plays at second base.
I mean, and then so you know, Miami. I don't think any team in the country and I will say this right now, has a better, is stronger up the middle than Jamal Weeks and Ryan Jackson are so slick defensively. Mm-hmm. He's a double play combination. Blake Ducote is a premium defender, covers a lot of ground out there in center. They've got a really two strong defensive catchers with Glenn Dowell and Jason Haggerty. So that to me, this is a very good defensive team. Playmakers, Yonder Alonso, very underrated for his defense at first base. He saves a lot of errors for that infield. Not that they make a lot of.
I love Yonder. Errors. Yonder Alonso is a stud. But
second Tommy Heinsohn reference in 2 days here in the podcast.
It's unreal. Yes, it was. It's a Baseball America podcast. Boy, we spent already 10 minutes talking about that first regional error. We can't keep doing that.
It's the most compelling regional in the entire field, so I think it's okay we gave it a little bit extra time.
I agree. It's an awesome regional. I think we're both picking Miami.
We are.
But you wouldn't be shocked by any of the other two teams. I would, honestly, I'd be shocked by Ole Miss. They just haven't done it this year. They've been consistently inconsistent. Regional at Ann Arbor, the only number one seed on the road is Arizona. Michigan, the 2. Kentucky, the 3. Eastern Michigan, the 4. I had the wrong directional Michigan this year. Picked Central in the preseason. Thought they'd make some noise. I was mistaken.
Jake Boss has done there for Eastern Michigan, John. Before we we're not probably going to talk an awful lot about Eastern Michigan.
Make
here,
it so.
Some other big-time programs, but Eastern Michigan starting 0-17, playing a pretty tough schedule. For a first-year coach to come in there and right the ship, give that guy a lot of credit. I think he's going to make a terrific head coach.
That's a great sign. If you can go 0-17 and make regionals, that's a sign of a coach who didn't lose his team, kept them believing, and got them on the right track. Fixed some things, diagnosed what was going on with the team, knew his talent. That's very impressive. So kudos to Jake Boss. And now they're going to be fodder for Arizona, we believe.
Yeah.
This is a really weird regional because, to me, the best player in this regional is Zach Putnam. And Michigan does have the experience of having won a regional on the road last year. Now they're at home. See how the fans turn out there. You'd assume they'll turn out. But Arizona, I don't know what to make of that team, Aaron. They've been a big disappointment. Here's my question for you. Is Michigan the kind of pitching staff that is a strike-throwing team? Or can they overpower Arizona's bats? Because Arizona's not a patient ball club.
Yeah.
Offensively, that's their big Achilles heel. They're not from the Caribbean, but they're a bunch of hackers. So that's the real problem with Arizona. They're not patient offensively. Can Michigan exploit them? Can Kentucky's pitching exploit them? I don't think Kentucky's pitching is good enough to beat Arizona. If they had Alex Meyer maybe out of this year's draft, already in school maybe, but is Michigan's pitching good enough to hold down that an explosive offense, but an offense that really can't be pitched to in Arizona?
You know, this was the single regional, John, that I had the hardest time picking, and I went back and forth on this for probably 45 minutes trying to break this thing down because I really like Arizona and I really like Michigan. And you know, obviously Arizona has more depth on the mound. The biggest thing Arizona's got in its favor is the bullpen with Jason Stoffel and Daniel Schlereth.
And
Ryan Perry. I mean, those are three big-time power arms, big-time power arms in the bullpen. I worry a little bit about, you know, Arizona's starting pitching. It hasn't been as good as I think we thought it would be. You know, Preston Gilmet has kind of struggled down the stretch.
He's just not as good as he was last year.
Not as good as he was last year in general. I mean, you know, they've had flashes from Eric Berger and David Coulon, and you know, it's not a dominant starting staff.
It's not.
And
to me,
honestly,
Eric Berger is the
key. I think I'd rather have as my 1-2 punch Zach Putnam and Chris Fetter from Michigan. Chris Fetter is a very underrated guy. He has won 10 games. And
is his nickname Unfetter?
I don't think so.
That's too bad. I like that.
But a big, you know, 6'8" strike thrower, pounds his zone, gets sink. I mean, he's, you know, I suspect that he's probably who Arizona is going to see because I think you have to throw Putnam against Kentucky.
Kentucky's pretty dangerous offensively. I think Kentucky's a dark horse 3-seed to win a regional. I don't know how that ballpark plays there.
I think they have their hands full. I just think Michigan is the best offensive team in this regional because, you know, Nate Recknagel, nobody talks about this guy.
It's 23 bombs.
It's insane how good of a power hitter he is. I love the athleticism that guys like Jason Christian and Kevin Sislo bring. Abraham.
That's a strong team up the middle as well, Michigan.
It is, yeah, it is. And I just think that Michigan at home, I feel like they're going to have something to prove. I mean, one thing that stuck out to me this year when I talked to Recknagel for an In the Dugout segment this year was, you know, he was saying how upset they were last year when people were writing them off immediately in the Vanderbilt Regional. And, you know, on the selection show, everyone's saying how it's going to be Vanderbilt's coronation. This is a team that plays with a chip on its shoulder.
Absolutely.
Very well. And I think people, again, are saying, well, Arizona's probably going to have a cakewalk. I mean, people have been banging on Michigan all year long, saying they didn't deserve to host because they haven't beaten a lot of top 100 teams.
Yep.
This team wants to prove it again, and I think they're going to do it at home.
I think you hit it on the head. I think Arizona, the starting pitching is not quite there. I think Eric Berger is the key. If Eric Berger is good, then this team has enough starting pitching with Gilmet, Berger, and Coulon and Mike Colo. They have seven pitchers they like or trust or will use. They definitely have the pitching depth to go all the way to Omaha. But this team's offense has been too inconsistent. I'm picking Michigan as well. I think the Wolverines are the better team. But I really, and this is another regional where any one of three teams can win it. I think Kentucky
can win it too.
They're the kind of team that can just get on a roll offensively, and you just can't stop them. That said, I don't think Kentucky's in the kind of pitching that they're going to see out of, say, if they play Arizona. Arizona's power arms are unique in college baseball. They really probably have the hardest throwing staff, 1-7 in the whole in the game. But their best pitcher tops out or sits at 87 in Preston Gilmet. To me, Eric Berger, he's hit some 92s of late. He's a key guy. If he's at his best, Arizona can go all the way to Omaha. It's not that simple. Their offense, like I said, can be exploited. They have to be a little bit more patient. T.J. Steele's got to get hot, but. I do like Arizona's talent, but I think Michigan's the better fit to win. I'm picking the home team.
And I like the way Putnam matches up with Kentucky. With Kentucky, of course, relies a lot on home runs.
Also a lot of left-handed hitters.
A lot of left-handed hitters, too. But Putnam, I think, keeps the ball down. He's got so much sink. I think he can neutralize the long ball from guys like Carroll and Colin Cavalier.
And the splitter is a good pitch against left-handed hitters. That's a weapon against left-handed hitters. And that's where Zach Putnam, I think, can really make some hay. Next regional here in Raleigh, North Cackalack. Well, not here. We're in Durham. NC State, the 1 seed. South Carolina, the 2. Charlotte, the 3. James Madison, the 4. Aaron, to me, this is a winnable regional for North Carolina State, but this is a regional of contrasts. You have three extremely offensively oriented clubs in South Carolina, Charlotte, and Madison.
Yeah.
And then NC State with all kinds of pitching. If Jimmy Gilheeney, the NC State closer, the sophomore left-hander from Rhode Island, if Gilheeney is available, I think NC State is the favorite here. It's a complete toss-up, though. He did not make the trip to the ACC tournament. No one at NC State is saying what the dealio is. And, for me, if Gilheeney's he's the X factor. Right now, I think you have to assume that he will not play. Because they could have used winning the ACC tournament or doing better in the ACC tournament to make sure they were going to be a regional host. They didn't do that. I'm picking South Carolina for that reason. They don't have great pitching, but I think they will mash their way to a regional championship here.
I think so, too. I really do. I think that their offense is just so much better than North Carolina State's offense.
I think NC State's actually a little underrated because I think top to bottom, they're okay. They just don't have anybody who dominates. They don't have anybody. Like, even Tommy Foschi hit his first career home run the other day. The bottom of their lineup is better than it was earlier in the year, and I don't have a cough button. So.
That's
okay. We're just going to keep on plowing through, but... It is a podcast. We're not on a professional radio. Just want to remind people that. But and to me, NC State, good pitching should beat good hitting, Aaron. And the question is how good is NC State's pitching? But they have lefties like Sogard and Surkamp. They have right-handers like Clayton Schunick. I like their arms, but if they don't have Gilheeney at the back and they're having to rely on Eric McConnell, Eric McConnell's had a bad senior season, unfortunately for State.
NC State. Is a team that lives off its pitching, and their whole reputation is built around how great their pitching staff is. I don't think it's a great pitching staff. I think it's a good pitching staff.
I think you got to give Tom Holliday credit for being very good. I'll say it's very good, not great.
I really like Clayton Schunick. He's really tough. I suspect
he's got a plus pitch, plus split finger fastball.
Split is really good. It really is. And Surkamp has been up and down. He was kind of up late, it seemed like, pitched well in the ACC tournament.
Yep.
But I just don't think they're the kind of arms that can contain South Carolina's offense. I really don't.
Well, Justin Smoke is certainly hot. Reese Havens is hot. Not so much James Darnell or Phil Disher, but South Carolina should have enough to
those are four hitters who can hit the ball a long way and have proven that they can do it, even if they're not hot. They can run into one at any time.
Next regional in Athens, Georgia, the 1 seed. Georgia Tech, the 2. Louisville, the 3. Lipscomb, the 4. Correct me if I'm wrong, Lipscomb is the home to Rex Brothers, John Manuel Fave, the left-hander.
Yeah.
And what's the catcher's name again? I forget their catcher's name.
Caleb Joseph,
that's correct. So Lipscomb's actually got a little talent, but I believe they're cannon fodder in this very solid regional when the 3 seed was in Omaha last year. and might have the single, you know, most explosive player in this event. The biggest tools in this whole regional are Chris Dominguez, power bat and power arm. All due respect to Gordon Beckham. Louisville is very dangerous as a three seed.
Absolutely.
I think
Louisville, having been to Omaha last year and having, yeah, they lost a lot of the key seniors on that team
right.
a year ago, but they still have their two best pitchers,
exactly.
Justin Marks and
Zach
Pitts. Justin Marks, the left-hander, has had a really good year.
They missed Tristan Magnuson at the back of their bullpen. He was pretty dynamic late in the year. Hard guy to replace.
I mean, they've got a lot of hard guys to replace.
Right.
And I don't think they've got quite enough. I do think they're well coached and are going to be competitive, and they've got those couple of X factors. But this is a tough one to peg, this regional. But I think Georgia at home for me. It just has too much pitching. I mean, their bullpen is just so unique with all those arms back there. They've really got five very good arms back there. I mean, everyone knows their role so well. I mean, it sets up very well for Joshua Fields. And, of course, they've got three reliable starters who've done it for 3 years. And they're not overpowering guys, but they're solid guys.
Right.
Georgia, of course, stumbled down the stretch a little bit. You have to wonder a little bit about their offense. I mean, I think it's a pretty good offense. It's not a great offense.
The bottom half of that lineup is very pitchable. You can get some quick innings at the bottom of that lineup.
But they had their moments this year where those guys down there actually were carrying that offense a little bit.
I am concerned about Georgia. I'm picking Georgia because their overall track record for the year and over past regionals is usually when Georgia gets in, they win. Half the time when Georgia gets into the tournament, they go to Omaha, it seems.
Right. And it's an even year, so
that's right.
That's probably going to happen again. Georgia Tech, of course, you know, let's not overlook them.
I'm overlooking them.
I don't think they're going to win this regional. I don't think they're that good. But they've got, to their credit, they've got some firepower. They've got some guys who can hit the ball. Derek Dietrich, of course, had a really nice freshman year.
He did.
As a potential freshman All-American.
But you look at their numbers, though. They've hit the vast majority of their home runs in non-conference play.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like
loaded up early
it was like 55 out of 85 home runs were hit in the non-conference. They were not the powerhouse offense in ACC play. So, for me, Georgia Tech, I'm not saying they're a fraud, but I'm saying that I think of them being a two seed, it was much more accurate. Their RPI, I had them as a one seed. I don't think they would deserve to be a one seed.
Yeah.
So, Georgia Tech, a solid two seed. It's a good regional. Wouldn't shock me if Louisville won it. I'm picking Georgia. But Georgia's, correct me if I'm wrong here, I believe I had this in Tracker. I added this to your top 25 Tracker on Monday. They've lost 9 of their last 16 games. It's a long stretch.
They lost that home series to Alabama. They went 0-2 in the conference tournament, and they lost the series to Florida a few weeks back.
That's a long stretch here where really they haven't played well. But I just think course of their season, they've played better and played more good teams and been better against good teams than the other teams in this regional. So I'm picking Georgia.
I take Georgia, but I wouldn't be surprised if Louisville comes out of this.
The other regional, the grudge match regional of our preseason top 25, one seed Cal State Fullerton, which is the number 5 overall top 8 national seed, UCLA number 2, the preseason number 1 team, Virginia number 3, which we also thought would be much better in the preseason, and Rider, the number 4 seed. Aaron, in my opinion, this is a two-team regional. Virginia did show signs of life at the ACC tournament, getting to the final, but Virginia against better teams this year. They have 2 wins against North Carolina. Otherwise, they really don't have a great record against regional teams.
Did beat Florida State as well in the ACC tournament.
I don't think Virginia wins this regional. I don't think they have a chance of HE double hockey sticks to win this regional.
John, I don't think Virginia won a weekend series all year against the regional team. So
no, they didn't.
They've got something in common with Oklahoma.
Unless Siena made it in. Did Siena make it in?
No, they did not.
So to me, this is UCLA versus Fullerton. And that was a super regional last year. And Fullerton won that, went to Omaha. Smoke and mirrors, baby, as George Horton likes to say. But this year, Dave Serrano has done a tremendous job. He's already fulfilled his quota of Coach of the Year awards from us. Otherwise, he'd be a very strong candidate for National Coach of the Year. For taking over, a tough program to take over because you're following a legend. You're leaving at an emotional time. The whole Rick Vanderhook situation, him leaving Irvine after he said he wasn't going to do it. And he just puts all those distractions aside, and Dave Serrano just takes over this team that was not a preseason top 25 team for us and takes that as a motivation all the way through the season. Young team, key junior college recruits like Eric Komatsu, overcoming a so-so year by a guy like Jared Clark, who I thought they had to have a big year to be this kind of team.
He had his moments.
He had his moments, but he wasn't consistent.
Yeah.
This team is just a lot better than we thought they were going to be. But UCLA is playing now the way we thought UCLA could play early in the season. To me, this is a perfect situation. And let's face it, these are the last two coaches at UC Irvine, and there's not a lot of love lost between these two coaching staffs. I think UCLA and Cal State Fullerton are almost opposites. UCLA's in the UC system. It's a little bit higher academic standards. It's a more national program because they're basketball program. They're the chic. They're the big time school in the LA area that gets all the media attention. They were the preseason number one team, but they have no track record in college baseball. Two College World Series trips. Fullerton has four championships. They are college baseball royalty. They are the Titans of Southern California baseball right now because USC is so far down. And they are a scrappier kind of team. They don't rely on top draft pick kind of talent like UCLA has. It couldn't be more opposites.
Yeah, you're right.
And I'm very torn on who to pick here. I'm picking Cal State Fullerton because the bottom line is in college baseball, Cal State Fullerton kicks UCLA's butt.
That's it.
That's all it comes down to. The history is the history. As much as I like UCLA's talent, the history is the history. You got to pick Cal State Fullerton.
I think you nailed it. The history is history. It's not the present. I mean, and Cal State Fullerton, hey, they dominated UCLA even in recent history.
Right.
I mean, this year they went 3-0 against the Bruins. There's every reason to think that Cal State Fullerton should win this regional at home.
They are
more talented than we thought they were in the preseason. I'll be the first to admit that.
Sure.
For one thing, I should rephrase. We thought they were talented. We didn't think that their young talent maybe would be as good as it is right away.
And honestly, I think the biggest difference is we didn't know how good Eric Komatsu was. And Eric Komatsu is the difference maker in their lineup.
He is. And Josh Bellhauer is taking the leap.
He's had a huge sophomore season. Absolutely. Took the leap.
He's a potential freshman All-American. Just a really good freshman year.
Exactly what they needed.
Exactly what they needed. That shortstop, the next great, leader to play shortstop at Fullerton. But the pitching staff, I still think, is not overpowering. But Jeff Kaplan's really righted the ship after a kind of a rocky start. I mean, Corey Arbiso has won a lot of games for them this year.
I agree.
Daniel Rankin, the freshman, is solid. Their bullpen I like how Adam Jorgensen has kind of anchored that for them back there. I mean, it's a good pitching staff, and Dave Serrano makes it a very good pitching staff because he's so good with pitchers. All that said, I mean, they've got all the. I like the way they play the game a little bit better. I like their style. They don't strike out as much as UCLA does. There's a lot of reasons to like.
They grind out a lot better. They are much better of a grinding team than UCLA. Maybe that means more in a regular season than a postseason, but
because
I'm still taking that,
maybe the bottom line is I'm just stubborn. But I believe in UCLA's talent, and I don't know if I should, but I do. Tim Murphy's pitched so well down the stretch.
He has gotten better. He's gotten through a little dead arm, and he's gotten better at the end of the season again.
Charles Brewer started to pitch. I mean, he's been up and down for them all year, but he's capable of. And Gavin Brooks is the X factor this entire tournament. He's the guy who came up so big for them in the postseason last year. Really, really good. Even in the Super Regionals, that he pitched very well against Cal State Fullerton in a loss.
He's one of the huge reasons why we ranked them one in the preseason, was Gavin Brooks.
And he's had kind of a disappointing year, but he's the guy who's got to come up big. And if he does, I think UCLA wins this week.
To me, their X factor is actually Gabe Cohen. The guy hit 400 in the Pac-10 last year, freshman All-American, hit about 200 this year, finally started to get his swing back, had a couple home runs against Wazoo. If Gabe Cohen hits, UCLA's lineup is much better than it has been all year, but that's a pretty big if. So I'm taking the Titans.
And I'm also not completely writing off Virginia, because I like Virginia on the mound with Pat McEnany and Jacob Thompson has been up and down again. He's not had as good a year, of course, as he had last year. This team, though, is kind of a West Coast-style team that plays in the ACC. I don't think you're gonna out Fullerton if you're an ACC team.
Correct.
I mean, Virginia does have a lot of speed, and they can.
How many bunt defenses does Virginia have?
Yeah, exactly.
Probably not enough for this regional. To go on to the Sunken Diamond Regional, one place in college baseball I've never been and desperately want to go is Stanford. Stanford the one, Pepperdine the two, Arkansas the three, UC Davis the four. Aaron, UC Davis and Stanford are extremely familiar with each other. They've played each other a lot this year. To me, this regional is like the walking wounded regional. Injury issues are huge in this regional.
Yeah.
Davis, I think, is at full strength. Stanford finally back to full strength. They finally get Jeremy Bleich back. How back he is a huge question. But to me, I would pick Pepperdine to win this regional if they had Eric Thames healthy and Brett Hunter close to 100%. Neither of those things is the case. I'm picking Stanford. I think Stanford's lineup is too good. They're the best offense in this regional. And with Jeremy Blige at least pitchable, Blige, Davis, Austin Yount, Jeff Inman, Stringer, Storen, they should have enough. Those six guys aren't great, but they're good enough with that offense. I think Stanford wins the regional.
I agree with your analysis 100%, actually. I think I will also take Stanford. I don't feel great about Stanford. I mean, I've been kind of bagging on them a little bit at times this year for their pitching depth in particular. But Austin Yount's emergence has been a key for them.
Big difference.
He's a big-time difference maker. I think if Stanford doesn't win this regional, the team I like is UC Davis, the 4 seed, which, you know, we talked about how good their weekend rotation is. They've got three guys with Gambo and Brad McAtee.
And Brian Evans, they also have have depth. They have the depth to win a regional, even out of the loser's bracket, pitching-wise.
So I think Davis could be a factor. If there's a 4 seed that's going to win a regional, I think it'll be them. But I'm going to take Stanford, too.
Moving on. Sorry we gave that such short shrift, but we got to get this Baseball America podcast in the books here. The Stillwater Regional, Aaron, I think, is a very interesting one. Oklahoma State, the 1, Wichita State, the 2, Texas Christian, the 3, and that was just for you, Eric Hyman, and Western Kentucky, the 4. So Texas Christian, I refuse to call them TCU, as their marketing folks wanted to be called. Texas Christian, to me, Aaron, got jobbed. They got jobby-jobbed, as Snoop Dogg would say, as a 3 seed. They should have been a 2.
Oh, yeah.
I honestly think you could have made Wichita State a 3. They didn't beat a good team all year, frankly. Quite frankly, I'm giving you my my impromptu Newt Gingrich impersonation. But to me, you got to go to Oklahoma State as the 1, but Texas Christian is dangerous. I think Oklahoma State should win. TCU might.
Well, I'm gonna disagree with you altogether and take Wichita State because here's the thing, John. You look at Wichita State, and yeah, I think they're 0-6 against the top 25. They've lost all those big games against all those Big 12 teams. They have beaten TCU twice, and here's the other thing: all those midweek losses were just that, midweek losses. And if there's a weakness on Wichita State, It's the pitching after those top three guys. Maybe the bullpen's a little questionable.
But Musgrave, Capra, and Schaefer, that's a very good 3.
I really, really have a lot of confidence in those guys. Big game pitchers. They can all locate, and they can all compete. They all have velocity. They all have movement. I mean, I think that might be the, you know, that's in the discussion for the best weekend rotation for me in the country. I like how they match up. And you know, Wichita State is so athletic. Here's the thing. This is not a classic Oklahoma State team that's going to bash your brains out at
McHugh
Reynolds Stadium. I think Wichita State, because of its athleticism, can compete. I mean, Connor Gillespie, everyone knows he's a great hitter.
You know, I think he's gotten hot lately. I just checked his numbers this morning. Connor Gillespie's numbers are insane. It's like a 1,300 OPS. It's really good.
He's a great hitter. Might be the best hitter in college baseball, but the key to that offense really, because you can kind of take Gillespie for granted a little bit, is the guys who sparked that thing at the top. Andy Dirks and Ryan Jones and, you know, these athletic guys. Dusty Coleman kind of protects Gillespie a little bit in that lineup. Another athlete at shortstop.
He's had a nice year.
I mean, it's a classic Wichita State athletic team. Like, I've said that word athletic about 7 times now, but it's the reason they're going to win this region.
I love that, and the way that Gene Stephenson uses and always leverages that athleticism is defensively. His best teams are very good defensive teams. I think that's a huge key for them, because the thing is, Oklahoma State is not explosive. Oklahoma State's a good offense, but frankly, Luis Flores and Matt Haig and Rebel Ridley, those guys are good, but they're not great. You know, let's face it, they can be pitched to. They didn't dominate anybody in the Big 12 when it came offensively.
Right.
It's a lot of sophomores. I kind of like the thing I like about Oklahoma State is I like the teams that have a lot of sophomores who have played. Mm-hmm. You don't have the draft pressure, and you're not a freshman anymore either. I think it's good to have a lot of sophomores to get to a College World Series team. That's just me. I peg a lot of that maybe to some past Stanford teams, but also your 0-3 Rice team was a lot better with a lot of sophomores than they were as juniors when the draft is bearing down on them. Also, if you're a pitcher, you haven't been used as much as a sophomore as you have been as a junior.
That's a really good point, John.
So I like the sophomores, and Oklahoma State's sophomore-laden.
And their sophomore left-hander Andrew Oliver is probably the best pitcher in the Big 12.
He is un stud.
Well, except for Aaron Crow, excuse me.
He's the second best pitcher in the Big 12. There's no dude about that for me. So I'm picking Oklahoma State. I like your reasons for picking Wichita State.
And TCU is definitely a factor as well.
I'm surprised neither of us picked TCU, to be honest with you. But I want to call them Texas Christian because that's what they are. And they get offended when you call them Texas Christian, and that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. So if you don't like being called Texas Christian, then change the name of your school. We'll move that aside and go on to the last regional here in the Baseball America podcast. Florida State, the Tallahassee regional. Florida State the 1, Florida the 2, Tulane the 3, Bucknell the 4. Aaron, I think that Florida State got a break in this regional.
Yeah.
Tulane's talent is a bit down. That's natural. Hurricane Katrina makes it hard to recruit there. That's why it's even more impressive what Tom Walter has done at UNO at New Orleans. So I think Tulane's going to be back as a program to being a perennial 1 or 2 seed, but they didn't get a break. They deserve to be in. You know, the winning that sweeping that series at East Carolina made their season. I don't think Tulane's a factor to win a regional. And I think in a couple years, Florida will be a significant factor with Kevin O'Sullivan. But right now, more of an overachieving kind of Florida bunch,
right,
short on the mound. I like Florida State. I think Florida State wins this regional. And I don't think they're even going to really lose a game.
I think they're going to romp right through it. But here's the only thing that could maybe throw a wrench into this whole plan is, will Rick Jones save Shooter Hunt for that second game? Now, and that would take guts because you don't want to overlook Florida, a 2 seed,
right,
a dangerous team, of course. I mean, you know, they wouldn't be a 2 seed if they weren't dangerous. But if you're Rick Jones, I think you got to play to win the regional, you know, because you're Tulane. What does winning one game in regional do for you?
Not much.
You want to win the entire regional, I think your best chance to do that is to throw a guy like Robbie Broach in the opener, save Shooter Hunt for Florida State. I think he's the only guy in this regional who can beat Florida State.
And let's face it, Shooter Hunt could probably use the extra rest. Our reports on Shooter's last couple of starts, I believe he's lost his last 2 starts in the Conference USA tournament and to Rice. And our reports out of that Rice game were that his stuff was a little down. He's never been a command guy. He's more of a, you know, stuff guy. He needs to be at his best. Maybe that extra day of rest even helps Shooter Hunt a little bit more.
But even, you know, even if that happens, I still like Florida State to win. I think Florida State can beat him for the reasons you just outlined. And even if they lose to him, I think they're dangerous enough offensively to just bang their way through the loser's bracket.
So let's go to our regional picks here and wrap up. And let's start back at the bottom. Let's start with Florida State because I want to throw something out here. I think Mike Martin has learned from the mistakes of this decade where Florida State hasn't been to Omaha this decade, which is just shocking, not since 2000. I don't count 2000 in this decade for those of you scoring at home. But you know, to me, he went with, is it John Gast?
Yeah.
He gave him crucial innings and sacrificed some regular season games potentially because of it because he knew he needed him in the postseason. Now he's got Strauss. He can start Strauss. He can relieve Strauss. He's got a very versatile guy. When he was going to Omaha all the time, he always had a versatile guy like that, whether it was Richie Lewis or Chris Chavez in the late 90s. He likes to have that kind of guy. Strauss is one of the best power arms they've had in years there. I said the same thing about Gas, another pretty hard thrower. Villanueva's been better for them down the stretch. Matt Farrell's been fairly consistent for them. He's more the Florida State, like in the Matt Lynch template. I like this. I think this is the best chance Florida State has to win a national championship since the Marshall McDougal era, my favorite era in Florida State history. I loved Marshall McDougal, one of my all-time top 5 favorite players. But to me, with Buster Posey, like the ultimate Florida State player, I mean, just defines the program, not named Drew, I think Florida State's going to Omaha. I don't think it matters who they're playing in the other super regional. And I think this is Florida State's best chance to win it they've ever had. I know the ACC is a little top-heavy. I know they lost to North Carolina and Miami. But I have a little feeling about Florida State because I think Mike Martin didn't manage every game like it's his last. He managed with a long view. And I'm not saying he hasn't done that in the past. I just really noticed it a little bit more this year. And I think that Florida State is in the best shape it's been going into the postseason, including the year they won 26 in a row back in 2002 and lost the Super Regional to Notre Dame.
You know, I really like how you broke that down. I think you very nearly sold me on it. Florida State, they're dangerous, and nobody should be surprised if they go to Omaha. They're the favorite to do so.
You've got them losing to Wichita, don't you?
And I do have them losing to Wichita.
Awesome, you got Wichita in.
Because
Wichita, which hasn't been since 1996, by the way.
This is the year they break through. Because if Florida State has a weakness, it's defensively. I think that's Florida State's Achilles heel. And I think Wichita State will exploit it with their just the amount of pressure that they put on an opposing defense with the with getting runners in motion and with the
bunts
and the speed and everything else. I just think that and Wichita State has the pitching advantage. I do think that athleticism will carry them. I'm going to take the Shockers.
Yeah, that is a shocker. You're taking the Shockers. Stanford versus Cal State Fullerton for me. Stanford versus UCLA for you. That would be an all Pac-10 super regional. With Stanford and Cal State Fullerton, that would be an awesome super regional.
Yeah.
Those two teams have so much history. They play each other almost every year, usually in the first series of the year. They have a lot of history in Omaha in this decade back in 01. They had some epic battles. Jeff Brooks involved in some of those. Just one of my another all-time favorite name. I would take Cal State Fullerton in that regional, but if it were Stanford UCLA, I gotta be honest with you. I think if UCLA can beat Fullerton, I think they would beat Stanford. I think they'd go to Omaha in that case.
That's what I've got happening.
I love that you have UCLA and Omaha. I freaking love it.
Hey, why not go for broke, John?
Why not, indeed, Aaron Fitt?
I don't know if I can defend it, but that's what I think is going to happen.
I'll just say this again: every scout and college coach I've talked to, and I've done our West draft coverage, I've talked about UCLA. They really let us down,
yeah.
And maybe we shouldn't take it personally. I'm taking Nick Blackburn's success a little too personally. And I shouldn't take UCLA's failure so personally. But I haven't found anybody who said, in terms of talent, you guys are right. Everyone has said at least that. JUCO guys out there, D1 guys out there, scouts, cross-checkers. These are all the guys we talked to before, and that's why we ranked them one. So,
for the last time, it wasn't a ridiculous, outrageous choice to take UCLA number one. They went to a super regional last year.
And it was all freshmen and sophomores.
Exactly, with a young team. A natural progression would be to assume that those guys get better.
I think they had a little too much junioritis.
I think so.
But then I think their sophomores did not come through.
Brooks
and Cohen did not come through.
Right. Now, here's the thing I like most about UCLA that I hadn't mentioned yet.
Okay.
And I would be remiss if I did not mention this.
Okay.
I mean, I talk about how much I like Miami because they're strong up the middle. Look at UCLA up the middle.
Babineau,
one of the best defensive catchers in the country, his bat's been a question mark. He's lost some playing time to Blake Dean out there.
Brandon Crawford hasn't hit, and he still strikes out a lot, but that boy can pick it at short.
He is a premium defensive shortstop, and Alvin Carruthers is teams with him for a very smooth double play combination.
And he's their best offensive player, Carruthers, hands down. He's been their best offensive player this year,
sure.
All year. On base percentage is very high, and he's hitting for more power.
Right.
And I agree. UCLA has the talent. I'm just not picking them. Bottom line, UCLA has become the Georgia Tech of the West for me.
Yeah.
Until
they prove otherwise. You're right.
But especially with John Savage. I love Coach Savage. He has a tremendous eye for talent. He's a great recruiter. Until he proves that his teams can win on the field the way they win in these recruiting battles, I think you have to doubt him, and you have to doubt the teams that he leads. He's got an under 500 record as a coach in 6 or 7 years as a head coach right now, which is not acceptable with the talent that he's had, especially at UCLA. So,
will he keep the team loose? Because I think
that's
what I've
huge.
Heard is
that's
a question
huge.
Mark about him and his teams. They tend to tighten up sometimes. And that team does swing and miss a lot. They have fundamental problems. I mean, here and there. I don't think UCLA is a slam dunk.
No, but I understand why you're going with them. I respect you for it. Georgia versus South Carolina. We've both got that regional. Again, to me, South Carolina, the pitching is a little short. When Georgia gets into regionals, they usually go to Omaha. I'm picking the Bulldogs.
Same here.
Last one, Miami over against Michigan. Well, that'd be a great bowl game. I don't know if they've ever played in football. I would take the U in football. I'm going to take the U in baseball as well.
And as much as I told someone last week that I was going to take Michigan to Omaha, regardless of who they're matched up with.
Don't!
because I feel very strongly that this is an Omaha-caliber team. We ranked them number 8 in the preseason because I thought they were one of the 8 best teams in the country on paper, and they've dominated the Big Ten Conference in the regular season. They won the tournament. They've done everything they needed to do. But Miami's special.
I think Miami is special. And bottom line is, Jim Morris, University of Miami. In my opinion, Jim Morris, best coach in the country. And I just really think a boy from Charlotte, Jim Morris has really done a great job as a head coach at University of Miami. I think he's going to take him to a national championship, Aaron. I'm picking Miami. That's my pick. Who's your pick? National champion. I had to throw in my Jim Morris impersonation. I broke it out. Hope Coach Morris hears that and enjoys it.
John, I'm going to go with Miami over North Carolina in the finals. All ACC finals, ACC assured of winning a national championship this year if those two teams get there. Although I suspect it'll be the team that has actually won national championships in the last 50 years while not in the ACC. Third straight year of heartbreak for North Carolina.
Who are your 2 and 3? Let's a little CYA here. Who's your 2 and 3? North Carolina is my 2 as well. Actually, I think it says like that's your 2. My if I had to pick a third favorite of all these, I hate to say it, but I kind of think Texas is the sexy hot team right now. That just get a feeling about Augie. There's just been so much noise out of that program, and now all that negativity is all positivity and all the zen and all that stuff. You know, Phil Jackson's got the Lakers going. His college baseball doppelganger is Augie Garrido. I would not be shocked if Texas went all the way.
I would be shocked.
I can tell you would be. You know, for some reason, I don't think Arizona State has the pitching. I don't think Long Beach State has the hitting. I don't think San Diego has the offense to get it done.
There's a lot of flawed teams in this. I mean,
they're all flawed. The only reason I'm not taking Florida State is that three. I just can't bring myself to say three ACC teams, but... Again, I've said it before, I wrote the column. This is the best chance the ACC has ever had. It's not even close because you have an experienced North Carolina team, a Florida State team that's playing for the postseason, and a Miami team that is as talented as any in the country, has Jim Morris as the head coach, home regional, home super regional. If an ACC team is ever going to get her done, it's going to be this year.
I'm with you. And I don't really have any other team that I feel very strongly about.
Michigan.
It's probably going to be... Well, yeah, Michigan. I think if Miami here's I guess my statement, John. If Miami gets out of its regional and super regional, I think they will win it all. Otherwise, I think that Ole Miss, Missouri,
wow.
or Michigan or Arizona could all be factors to win a national championship.
Arizona certainly is a factor. If they have the right matchups offensively, pitchers that throw strike thrower kind of guys, they can punish that kind of thing. You got to have guys who have the command and the control to expand the zone and exploit their weaknesses.
Which Miami, I mean, that's what those guys do. Hernandez and Erickson, I mean, those two guys in particular excel at spotting their stuff and they've got movement. I like the way they match up with that offense.
Well, it's been a great podcast, despite the our technical lack of proficiency and my lack of a real voice. But I really enjoyed it, Aaron. Let's do this again next year.
Let's do it again next year, John.
Let's do it again next week when we preview the Super Regionals. So check in with BaseballAmerica.com for coverage all weekend. We got two regionals locally that we'll be covering the heck out of here in Wake County. So until next week's college podcast, for Aaron Fitt, I'm John Manuel. So long, everybody.